Welcome to New World Notes, edited by yours truly, Kenneth Doust. Today we make a valiant effort to leave behind the doom and gloom and lighten up a bit. So we turn away from the horror of the heart of darkness, and what do we find? Alas, not sweetness and light, but general weirdness. Well, at least that's better than doom and gloom. So today, in the spirit of lightening up, we present, in prose and song, a salute to general weirdness. I hope you'll stay tuned.
The FDA approves napalm breast implants. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. The Food and Drug Administration cleared the way for the use of highly flammable napalm in cosmetic breast implants today. Though some feminist groups say the implantation of sacks of jellied gasoline could have lethal consequences, the FDA remains convinced they're safe. Spokesman Kevin Manning.
The likelihood of a woman turning into a human fireball is minimal at best.
Initial testing of the implants on breastfeeding mothers resulted in an acceptable number of exploding babies. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News.
Ah, The Onion, America's foremost tribune of general weirdness. The Onion is satire, and it works by transforming reality into something just a little weirder. Napalm cosmetic breast implants are pretty weird, but they make us think. Are silicone cosmetic breast implants much saner? And once you've made two perfectly normal breasts look like two perfectly normal grapefruit halves, why not dress them up a bit with a couple of tattoos? How about a couple of piercings while you're at it? It would probably be wise for me not even to mention the hottest new female elective surgery, cosmetic labiaplasty. So we won't go there. But you can see the problems with following The Onion. Pretty soon, American culture out-weirds The Onion. A couple of months ago on this show, we heard historian Morris Berman remark that he thought he was reading satire reprinted from The Onion. Then he discovered he was reading real news reprinted from a respectable newspaper.
The new high school curriculum in American history in Texas does not have any units on Washington, Adams, or Thomas Jefferson, but it does have a study unit on Estée Lauder. When I, you know, it was like reading The Onion, you know, that satire. When I first read that, I said, oh, this is a joke. This is a joke. But satire has become reality in the United States. I looked more closely. That article appeared in the Austin Statesman. I mean, it really is true, you know. And I've been thinking of, you know, writing a letter to the Board of Education in Texas suggesting that they eliminate the unit on Franklin Delano Roosevelt, which I'm sure they don't have anyway, and putting in a major unit on Kim Kardashian, you know. And you laugh, but it's only a couple of years away. Yeah, you know, I mean, this satire becomes reality in the United States.
Is weirdness inevitable? Let me remind you that weird comes from the old English word weird, which means fate or destiny. We'll focus on good old homegrown American weirdness, but first here's an item from our loyal ally and Anglophone buddies, Australia. It's not from The Onion. I've assembled this account from reports published by AP, Agence France-Presse, and other sources from the summer of 2011. I title it, Save the Environment, Kill a Camel for Carbon Credits. Here goes. Australian officials are hoping to curb carbon emissions by killing off wild camels in the outback. An Australian company proposed awarding carbon credits to individuals and companies in return for killing wild camels as part of a larger carbon-cutting legislation called the Carbon Farming Initiative, submitted to Australia's Parliament's Department of Climate Change and Energy Efficiency. The plan is expected to be approved by the Australian legislature and to become law. The officials figure that removing the wild camels, which fart and burp methane, would lead to a significant reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. Each camel, they claim, emits 100 pounds of methane a year, which is the equivalent of 1 ton of carbon dioxide. The plan involves shooting the animals from helicopters or rounding them up and sending them to a slaughterhouse to be used in pet and human foods. In return for killing the camels, the killers would receive carbon credits, which can then be sold to companies to give them leeway in the amount of carbon they emit in other ways, like manufacturing. An international scientific society of camel experts, based in the United Arab Emirates, says that the Australian methane calculations are, quote, absurd, unquote, as they are based on emissions from cows. The scientists say that camels emit much lower quantities of hydrocarbons than cows do. Note that Australia has a very large cattle industry and gets a very large share of its energy from burning coal. So, kill a bunch of wild camels, claim carbon offsets from the reduced farting and burping, make money by selling the carbon offsets to polluting industries, and then they can burn more coal. To its credit, at least Australia has a Department of Climate Change and Energy Efficiency. If the U.S. government had such a department, every Republican presidential candidate would be promising to abolish it, and the Obama administration would be using it to promote nuclear power, deep-sea oil drilling, and, quote, clean coal, unquote.
Biologists apologize for the release of giant winged serpents. This is Doyle Redland reporting. An area scientific team apologized today for a giant winged serpent release gone terribly wrong. Project leader Dr. Lee Orthon believed the new species would simply eliminate rats and mice, but instead the creatures have caused untold destruction and mayhem. Homeowner Nathan Sincher has had enough.
You know, when one of them flies into your picture window, it's not like a sparrow hitting it. The sparrows will just bounce off.
Local officials hope to put a stop to the chaos with the release of several hundred giant apes, which they are certain will snatch the serpents from the air and hurl them against mountaintops. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News.
So, when it comes to general weirdness, no way we Yankees are going to be outdone by these Australians and their burping camels. Alas, our great chronicler of the weird is dead and gone, Hunter S. Thompson, who coined the maxim, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. Well, Thompson was weird and a pro, and so just the guy you want to cover a presidential campaign. Rolling Stone magazine hired him to do just that in 1968. And the book that came out of those dispatches, Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail, holds up very well 43 years later. Hunter Thompson is irreplaceable, but he would have recognized journalist Con Hallinan as a toiler in the same vineyard. Hallinan has invented a prize called the Are You Serious Awards. In honor of general weirdness, I'll read some of the latest list. From late December, slightly condensed by me. From the Are You Serious Awards. The Golden Lemon Award to Lockheed Martin, whose F-22 Raptor fighter plane has a performance problem. The pilots can't breathe. The radar-evading planes cost $150 million apiece, making them the single most expensive fighter in the world. The Air Force was forced to stand down its fleet of 160 F-22s when pilots began experiencing, quote, hypoxia-like symptoms, unquote. That is, they couldn't breathe. But the company got right on it and got the aircraft back into the air for 5 weeks. When pilots continued to have problems breathing, the F-22 fleet was grounded again. According to the Air Force, no one can figure out why oxygen is not getting to the pilots. They said that pilots would undergo physiological tests. Why? To see if the pilots can go without air? Are You Serious Award number 2, the P.T. Barnum Award, to Dennis Montgomery a computer programmer who scammed the U.S. government for more than $20 million. Montgomery claimed that he had software that could spot terrorist conspiracies hidden in broadcasts by the Qatar-based Arabic news network Al Jazeera. He said his program could also detect hostile submarines and identify terrorists in videos from Predator drones. The Bush administration took his claims so seriously that in December 2003, it turned back flights from Britain, France, and Mexico because the software had discovered the plane's flight information embedded in Al Jazeera crawl bars. The White House feared the planes would be used to attack targets in the U.S. and actually talked about shooting the planes down. The CIA eventually concluded the software was a fabrication, but rather than rebuking those in charge of the hoax, Donald Kerr and George Tenet, both men got promotions. The spy agency also didn't bother to tell anybody in the military. So in 2009, the U.S. Air Force bought the bogus software for $3 million. Number 3. The C. Northcote Parkinson Award to the U.S. Defense Department. After World War II, the British sociologist Parkinson was hired to examine the future of the Royal Navy. He noted the military's deep love of fancy gold lace and its addiction to bureaucracy. He concluded that eventually the Royal Navy would have more admirals than ships. Needless to say, that is exactly what happened. But it's not just the Brits who yearn for the golden epaulettes. According to the Project on Government Oversight, the U.S. military is adding brass to its ranks at a record pace, while the enlisted ranks grew by 2% from 2001 to 2011, 3- and 4-star generals and flag rank admirals increased 24%. 1- and 2-star generals and admirals increased by 12%, and lower-ranking officers increased by 9.5%. Again, this is while enlisted personnel grew by only 2%. Former Secretary of Defense Robert Gates made an attempt to cut the ranks of the top brass, but as soon as Leon Panetta took over the post, he reversed the cuts and added 6 more generals. In fact, at the same time as the Pentagon was cutting the enlisted ranks by 10,000 troops in anticipation of an end to the Iraq War, it added 2,500 officers. Number 4, the Grinch Award to the International Monetary Fund, IMF, for complaining that Colombia's minimum wage was too high and was driving up the cost of labor. The minimum wage in Colombia is $1.80 an hour. For full-time workers, that brings in around $300 a month. Finally, number 5, the Creative Language Award, awarded to the Obama administration for denying that the American bombing of Libya constituted a war. It was, according to the White House, a time-limited, scope-limited military action. Quote, unquote. Thank you, Con Hallinan. On New World Notes, we are lightening up a bit and focusing on the general weirdness of life in these United States. In the 1980s, the great satirist-songwriter Tom Lehrer was asked why he was no longer performing. He replied, "Any country that would re-elect Ronald Reagan as president is so busy satirizing itself that my services are no longer needed." He was wrong. We need Lehrer more than ever. We do have his spiritual heir, though, Roy Zimmerman, who is now the poet laureate and troubadour of American general weirdness. Let's hear his anthem, America, which happens to be on the very topic. It was written as the Bush regime was coming to an end, and the satire does give way to a genuine note of hope and optimism. America, it just might work, Zimmerman sings. That was back before Obama taught us that hope was just a campaign slogan. Well, enough despair. Let's get back to general weirdness. Here's Roy Zimmerman with a new, improved national anthem.
America is a 57 Chevy that veers to the left and lurches to the right. America is a pawn shop window with decals of Old Glory made by children in China. America is a dog playing poker, saying war is a last resort and wagging his tail. America is a compassionate conservative and a gay Republican and a vegetarian vampire. America is that Norman Rockwell of the family on Thanksgiving hung on the wall of an Indian casino. America is a big group therapy session with one guy in the corner who will not shut up. God bless the firefighter. God bless the video clerk. And God bless America.
It just might work. Just might.
In Missouri, doing Louis Armstrong. America is a scholarly discussion of the socioeconomic implications of Janet Jackson's boob.
Came up to you and said, I'm going to bring forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. You'd probably say, right on, good luck with that. And what if you said, I'm going to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity? You'd probably say, wow, knock yourself out. And what if he said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country? You'd probably say, I got a meeting.
America is a conspiracy of genius in sweat-stained waistcoats and powdered wigs. America is a homeless Jesus being held at gunpoint by King James. America is an apple pie with a few bad apples right toward the top. America is a dream of freedom dreamed by everyone all.
I am sure, if America ever decided to start working, we in the 99% would be most pleased. Perhaps in earlier times, America had seemed closer to working than it does now. Maybe in the 1950s through mid-1960s. Or maybe not. We have to be careful not to romanticize the past based on a lot of ignorance and a few fantasies. A good book on alternative history can show pretty clearly that there never was a golden age for the 99%. This would be a good time to reread Howard Zinn's book, A People's History of the United States. Speaking of books, a bookstore is a great place to be confronted with the general weirdness of things. If you can find a bookstore these days. If you live in New Haven or Ann Arbor, you've probably got some good options. For most of us, we have Barnes & Noble at the mall. Walk in and look at the stuff they're pushing at the front of the store, and you find yourself wanting to ask, "What manner of being are these earthlings?" Look, there's three new books by Ann Coulter, arguing that Barack Obama is a socialist, a devil worshiper, and a cannibal. Apparently, being an eager tool of Wall Street and the military-industrial complex is not a problem for Coulter and her ilk. It's the cannibalism and devil-worshipping she objects to. On display next to that landmark of political science, you'll find Cure Your Cancer with Traditional Vermont Folk Remedies. George Carlin, too, saw that the books we sell and buy and read are a good mirror reflecting the general weirdness of American life. Here he is.
Join the book club. As an introductory offer, we'll send you the following books absolutely free. Eat, Run, Stay Fit, and Die Anyway. How to Seem Intelligent. There's Big Money in Staying Put. Peace of Mind by Losing Complete Control for 16 Hours a Day. Your Thighs Control Your Life. How to Fillet a Panda. Rid Yourself of Doubt, or should you? Chances are your sister's full of... How to Give Yourself a Complete Physical Without Getting Undressed. 64 Good Reasons for Giving Up Hope. Why Jews Point. 100 Dead People Nobody Misses. Backpacking for Shut-Ins. My Dog is a Real Fruit. Your Shoes Are Worth Money. Reorganizing Your Pockets. What to Wear on the Toilet. 124 Simple Exercises for the Teeth. The Stains in Your Shorts Can Indicate Your Future. Tips on Getting Laid. Self-Mutilation as an Attention-Getter. 600 Ways to Give People the Shaft. Tremble Your Way to Fitness. You give me 6 weeks and I'll give you some disease. And if you join today, we'll send the following books absolutely free. Poems for the Insane. A Treasury of Poorly Understood Ideas. Apartment Hunting for Devil Worshippers. A complete list of all the things that are still pending. And these books on food are yours. The Intravenous Cookbook, The Meaning of Corn. Fill Your Life with Croutons. The Food Coloring Diet. Cooking for the Paralyzed. Cooking with Heat. And if you join today, we'll send the following books absolutely free. Controlling Fear Without Getting Frightened. Things No One Can Help. Understanding People You'll Never Meet. 6 Ways to F*** Up Before Breakfast. Marriage for One. I Suck, You Suck. Let's Change the Alphabet. Famous Bull Stories. Sport Fishing with Power Saws. Why Hawaii and Norway Are Not Near Each Other. And if you join today, we'll send the following books absolutely free. A List of People Who Mean Well. Don't Throw Away Your Old Skin. 10 Things We Don't Know Yet. Caring for the Seated. The Wrong Underwear Can Kill. Trotting Across Zaire. Why It Doesn't Snow Anymore. The Complete List of Everyone's Personal Effects. 6 Cities No One Has Ever Been To. I Gave Up Hope and Died and It Worked. Famous People Who Were Wiry. The Lives of 6 Extremely Short Saints. Anime Wong's Tits Are Made of Aluminum. And if you join today, we'll send the following instruction books absolutely free. How to Do Everything at Once. How to Give People Your Best Regards. How to Spoil Other People's Fun. How to Kill a Rat with an Oboe. How to Organize a Tupperware Gangbang. How to Wave Goodbye Without Moving Your Arms. How to Spot Truly Vicious People in Church. How to Get Back from Boston. How to Lease Out the Space Inside Your Nose. How to Get a Tan with a Flashlight. How to Start a Range War. How to Spot a Creep from a Distance. How to Give a King a Really Hard Time. How to Kill Your Nephew. How to Become a Greaseball. And how to turn unbearable pain into extra income. So call now, right now. Join the book club today.
Carlin was a very talented guy. But as chronicler of general weirdness, you really can't beat your local newspaper, particularly if it's a provincial newspaper like mine. It's formerly the Manchester Journal Enquirer, and now it's the Journal Enquirer of no fixed address. I clip the occasional news story, and a few items capture the general weirdness of my region pretty well. I'll just omit the names in order to protect the guilty. Let's start here. Two arrested in West Hartford baby shower shooting. Two brothers have been arrested in connection with a shootout that injured four people at a baby shower last month, police said. The two brothers are charged with attempted murder, assault, risk of injury to a minor, interfering with police, and weapons crimes. One brother and three other people were injured October 18 at a rented hall filled with 60 people, including several children. Police say several women got into an argument, which led to the men getting involved and the shootout. Authorities say more arrests are expected. Here's a good one. Man gets probation for fake ad. A West Hartford man has been sentenced to 3 years of probation for posting a bogus online ad about an orgy at a neighbor's house during a feud with the neighbor. The man, 44, pleaded guilty to risk of injury to a child and was sentenced to probation and 200 hours of community service. He also was ordered to pay for the neighbor's alarm system. The man posted the Craigslist ad in April, and several strangers knocked on the neighbor's door. One man went to the wrong house, groped a teenage girl, and was arrested. Okay, that was a fake ad advertising an orgy at the home of his estranged neighbor. Here's another one. Enfield, what began as a theft at Taco Bell and a low-speed police pursuit of the suspects, ended Monday in a rollover crash on Interstate 91 when the suspects tried to switch seats while driving about 50 miles per hour, police said. Blah, 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 blah. Once on the highway, the officer noted the driver and his passenger attempting to switch places while the car was traveling about 50 miles per hour, the police spokesman said. He added that police don't know why the two were attempting to switch places, but while trying to do so, the car began to swerve, went over an embankment, and rolled over several times, he said. Police instructor accused of biting. An instructor at the Connecticut Police Academy in Meriden has been charged with biting a coworker. The instructor, 51, is accused of taking the woman literally when she told him sarcastically to bite me, police said. Court documents show the man chomped on the woman's arm, leaving teeth marks and a bruising. He faces a disorderly conduct and reckless endangerment charge. And finally, and this one is my favorite of the batch, woman accused of helping daughter beat up girl. A Middletown woman has been charged with helping her daughter beat up another girl at Middletown High School, police said. The mother, 38, was charged with risk of injury, unlawful restraint, and conspiracy to commit assault. The incident Friday began when the mother arrived at the school to speak with officials about a problem between the girl and her daughter. Police say the mother and her daughter spotted the other girl and followed her to a stairwell where the other girl was beaten up by the two of them. And with that, let's bid adieu to General Weirdness this week, and thank you for listening. New World Notes comes to you from the spacious underground studios of WWUHFM, a community service of that beacon of light in darkest Connecticut, the University of Hartford. Find out more and check out our archive of past installments at our website, newworldnotes.blogspot.com. You'll get to my non-carborundum, and see you later.